YK. YK. You have this book? Do you have? The handbook. Ah, come. You can get it there. The hard copy there. No, it's Ingby brought a lot. Get a copy for him. YK. The Daily Devotion. Buddhist Devotion by Chief Reverend K. Sri Damananda. It's a very good book. Come, Joyce. Okay, since we have a few minutes, maybe I will start a little bit on the September 12 CD. The recording that Suyan did on the 12th of September was very good. So it was circulated. So you all, if you can, spend some time listening to it. It will help you a lot. Because that recording was very well done, very complete and very clear. And it covers almost everything that you need to know, including all those that are supposed to be much, much later for you to understand all that. So what I suggested to Suyan was just now, that I need to find out from some of you, who can help out. We hope to do a transcript on that sharing so that I can maybe finalize it before our retreat next year. And it will be very useful. So who is good at transcript recording? Anybody? Just transcribe it out. You listen and write. Listen and write. But on the computer is easy. You can pause. Then after that, you can go back to wherever you want. No, you can split it out. It's 2 hours, but you can split out the work. You don't have to do everything yourself. But I need somebody to coordinate and type it out. So typing, we can get willing to help. Then transcribe. Those who want to volunteer, you let Suyan know. He can help to coordinate the whole thing. It will be very wholesome, and it will help the person who do it. Because if you have some form of Dhamma understanding, then it will be very, very useful for you. Because as you transcribe, you actually learn a lot. Then everything become very clear. Then later on, we may need to do the proofreading. That one will be after I edit the thing. Because when I listen, I will know it. So the whole recording, I listen and I read your transcript, I will know what word is missing or what word is not so correct. That because sometimes English words are like that, sound the same, and you put the wrong word, and you will get a shock of your life when it's edited. You read the whole thing completely different. That one not so bad. But there were certain things I remember. Oh, really, the whole meeting is totally different. Then it come out. Then only that person who transcribed realized how different the actual talk meant than what was perceived. Hey, Eddie, come. Oh, okay, now 8:30. So we can actually start. So just relax your body and mind. Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadhā. The spiritual faculty of sadhā, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, is very important. So if you can develop that, it will pave the way for you to develop the all the other balance of four spiritual faculties. Yeah? Okay, now we will start. You compose your mind. Yeah? Then develop the very strong faith and pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself, eh? Then maintain some form of attention, eh? Then we can start. Eh? Okay, tonight, before we start, maybe for the benefit of those who just came in, there is this 12th of September recording that Brother Sui An has actually done up, and it was circulated to all Kayanamitas. And actually, this morning, I had the condition to listen to it again. And I didn't know it was so complete, so beautiful, until I listened to it. That's why after that, I replied to Brother Sui An, then copied to you all. Advising you all, you have your time. It will be very useful and very helpful for you all to listen to it attentively again and again. The reason why I use the word again and again is because for most of you now, very unlikely, you can actually grasp more than 30% of what is spoken. But for some who has cultivated, they can. So if you don't listen to it again, you will miss. And most of it, first time you listen, is like you understand because you have been hearing it so many times. But actually, the real understanding is not there yet. Because the true understanding demands cultivation and practices. If you have not developed the daily mindfulness, the heedfulness, the cultivation, a lot of the things spoken, you cannot understand yet. You can only understand up to the level you can understand. And most of it is at the, what they call, superficial Dhamma level. Level of knowledge. Level of thought. But as you develop this spiritual faculty, the Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to the heedfulness, and then a lot of things will happen to you. Then with that stable mindfulness or Sati, when you start to do the real meditation or cultivation of daily mindfulness in daily life, then you will start to understand a lot more. And as this understanding unfolds, you listen again. You will be full of joy and you will start to appreciate a lot of those words that even though you have listened earlier on, but the meaning doesn't come out and doesn't strike you, doesn't impact upon you, not until you have cultivated it. Then as you develop that ability to understand those words, nothing can stop you from cultivation after that, I tell you. You will move on your own and you can move very fast. So that part, I think, for the benefit of all, it is up to you, because your life, you decide how you want to develop the understanding. But this is a very rare recording. Actually, so far, of all the recording, I think this one is the most complete. Most complete in the sense that the question was such, it covered almost every aspect of the cultivation from the beginning to the very end. It's like towards the end one is all for serious cultivator one. But it all came out through that condition for that night. So what I felt was this style of sharing or recording is very rare and very important. So I have, before the few came in later, I have actually expressed the intention to do a transcript for this recording. So whoever who are willing to like spend time and help out, you can let Brother Suyan know. The 2-hour recording, you can break it up and different people do different parts. And as you do, you will understand very much more, because through this listening and transcript, it becomes different. Because it's like you slow everything down and write it out. Then you can read and read and read. That's what all those earlier on, the transcript of all those important talk that I gave since the year 2005. Some of this you manage to get the blue book, dependent origination, then even the 5 aggregate of form and mind, then you have the Satipatthana Sutta, then you have the Samadhi, then there are quite a lot more. So all this come about because during that time there is a group. They are very serious about cultivation, so they like to do those transcripts. Then, over the years, since 2008, it didn't occur to me that we need to do all this until lately. So, I hope you all can contribute and help out so that we can develop this transcript. Then, the process actually take a while, but because we have this retreat next year, March, so I hope to finish everything by end of this year. We have another 3 months, 3 months plus a bit, should be able to finish and should have enough time. Because after you transcribe, somebody need to type it out, and Hui Ling has actually willingly and sincerely give whatever desire to help. Means we already have somebody who will help us to type it out, and that is very useful. Then after that, you forward me the whatever that is typed. Then I will do the editing. Then after I edit, we will print it out. Then we will do what they call the transcript. The formal typesetting, the formal typesetting of the transcript. Then we will do the proofreading. So after the proofreading, we can actually set it out into printed form so that it can be shared by all. So that whole process will take a while. So 3 months, enough time. So that's about all that I want to share and announce. Okay, so tonight we will continue. Tonight I got only one question, but this question is quite long. It's a good question. It's very good because a lot of people don't understand. Just like how she phrased her question. She asked, what is the responsibility of a lay Buddhist? Most people has this idea inside their mind. What am I here for? I come to this world for what? Then the housewife will ask question like this question. Why is everybody just expecting me to do everything? And serving them. And nobody want to really help out and honestly. So she is talking about responsibility. But I changed the word. I say a better word, more appropriate word is duty. If it's your duty, then it's not a responsibility. Then you don't put pressure on yourself that you are responsible for all these things. But if it's my duty, means I know it is my duty. If I can do, I do. And I do with understanding. I don't do because there is a responsibility given to me. I don't want to be like put pressure on. Just like in the office, your boss, your superior, they can just throw the file to you and say, you are responsible for all this. I want you to fix it. So when we talk about responsibility, it's like we are answerable. But if it's just a duty given to you, just like in the school, the teacher, they put up duty roster. Sunday is a holiday here. But last time in my state, Sunday is a school day. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So who is assigned for what duty? Sweeping floor, washing toilet, and all those things. So you have your duty laid out for you. So if it's a duty, then you ask yourself, you do it because it's a duty, you want to do. I will elaborate on it later. Okay, now maybe we need to go into the meditation proper. Okay, anybody here who is totally new? Totally new. Oh, three of them. So choose husband and children. Do they have any Buddhist base understanding? Dhamma? Oh, your son only. Never mind. You don't need to have any basic understanding actually. You only need to have a open mind to listen. Okay, maybe I will just summarize again what we are here for. They call this the Thursday class, meditation class. But because we follow the teachings of the Buddha, so we actually try to develop the understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But Buddhists like to use this word, Vipassana meditation. So this word are like very big word. Vipassana means insight. INSIGHT. Not INSIDE. So when you do transcript, sometimes you don't laugh. Inside they will write INSIDE. Because that is the only word they are familiar with. relative say insight meditation, inside the draw. So when you correct it to insight, that's why I say you will get a shock of your life. The person who did the transcript will be very surprised. The two meanings are so different, isn't it? Insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, is about wisdom. You insight into characteristics of nature. You insight into certain things that allow you to have the understanding or the wisdom to comprehend it clearly. So that's why this is the meditation that will lead to insight knowledges, awakening and wisdom. To do what? To free your mind, to liberate your mind, so that you can become enlightened, so that you don't have any more suffering. So it is mainly to develop this insight knowledges or wisdom, to liberate your mind so that you don't have to suffer unnecessarily from that moment onward. So this type of insight meditation is something that a lot of people try to develop. And they are actually very keen to develop it. But it is not something that is so straightforward and easy for most people. So what we do here is, this session has two sessions. First session is the briefing, the explanation of the Dhamma, means the teaching of the Buddha. The main essential Dhamma or his teaching is to let you understand why are you not peaceful, why are you not able to develop this meditation. So you look at the whiteboard, the essential Dhamma are all on the whiteboard, this whiteboard, then this whiteboard, and this tree. These three are very important. So you need to develop some form of understanding. These are all in the teaching. But the understanding of it is very important. So, like I always said, the focus is on understanding. If you do without understanding, you cannot progress. Very difficult. You can have some experience, but that will not help you that much. But when you do with understanding, you can progress very fast. And you are very focused. You know what you are doing. So the essential Dhamma will help you a lot when you are able to understand it. All these three whiteboard, they got different essential Dhamma and messages. The main one is this center one, the small floor, rectangle one. We have on the left the five mental hindrances. So this one I have spoken many times, but for the benefit of those who are new. The Buddha said, the reason why you cannot develop the silent mind, the meditative mind, is because you have this mental hindrance that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming tranquil and still, or aware. So like the word hindrance, something that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm, from being aware. So these mental hindrances are very real. If you check your daily life, they are there almost every moment and every instant, unless you have cultivated and trained your mind. So they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. If you want to understand this, you go and listen to the 12th of September recording. Everything is there, very clear. So now with that recording, I save a lot of time. I don't need to explain again. If you're lazy, you cannot understand. So it's up to you. Then I move on to the five spiritual faculty. This spiritual faculty is the opposite five mental states that can allow you to understand his teaching very easily. And it will also help you to overcome the five mental hindrances. And this spiritual faculty are all in the teaching. But the only thing is, the explanation of it differ. Not everybody understand what they are. So if you don't understand, then when you do, it will be very difficult for you to cultivate or develop this spiritual faculty. So I have also explained what these five things are. In Pali is Sada Virya Sati Samadhi Epanya. The translation is Sada means confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Confident in whatever you do. Confident includes self-confident. So when you are confident in somebody, you have faith in that person, you will understand what he say because you have gratitude and respect for that person. And you will know that his teaching, the Buddha's Dhamma, can actually bring about great transformation in you, can bring about understanding that lead to awakening or enlightenment. Then your life can be very, very different. Then it will help you to understand life, to really live life to the fullest, and with great peace, joy, and happiness. Then suffering need not be no more. The rest are all explained inside the recording too. You listen to the 12 September recording, it's all explained. So Sada is confident in the Buddha's teaching. Then Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to actually develop this cultivation. Because out of your faith and confidence in him, through knowing how special the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, your Virya will arise, spiritual zeal. When that arises, you will cultivate your mind, train your mind to be mindful, sati. And that is the third spiritual faculty. And mindfulness is very easy. You have to understand what it is. Listen again. Mindfulness or awareness means the mind before the knowing. Means you just aware before the concept, the word, the thought come out. So awareness before the knowing, that is mindfulness. So when you have that, how to develop and how to train means when you pay respect, bow, body and mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness. Understand? Huh? So when you walk, body and mind as one without thought, that is mindfulness. A simple way to define is the moment you are silent without thought and chattering, you are already mindful. You don't have to learn to be mindful. You don't have to actually technically try to be mindful. Because the trying is by the thought that wants to be mindful. And when the thought is active, mindfulness is not there. That's why a lot of people cannot do it. Because they use the wrong instrument to develop mindfulness. They use the thought to note here and note there. You are totally off tangent. So to be mindful is very simple. You're just silent. But like I explained, human beings, most of them are heedless. They cannot be silent. Heedless means what? The hindrance are there. You think a lot. A lot of thought arise because of habitual tendency, because this hindrance has conditioned you into that state of heedlessness. So you listen to the recording, it's all explained there. Then the next one is Samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. It will come about when your sati stabilize, your mindfulness stabilize. Then with sati and Samadhi, mindfulness and Samadhi, you will have clarity. You will be able to see things as they are. Then wisdom will arise. Understanding will arise, insight will arise. So all this fulfill the five spiritual faculty that you need. And with this five spiritual faculty, the whole lot of the hindrance will be overcome. Then you can receive the teaching very easily. And you can progress along the path of Dhamma very easily. So with this, we can start our meditative training. I will off the light, and for those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new, or those who still need instruction, you just listen. Then you just follow the instruction and try to develop this training of mind to be mindful, to be peaceful, to be aware. So meditation got two parts, like I always explain. First is, you train your mind not to be heedless, so that it can be heedful. Heedful means ever mindful to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. So the first part is to train the mind to be ever mindful. So this training, I will teach you a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method. So that you will learn to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you just allow the mind to feel, no more thinking. This is how you decondition your heedless thinking. This is how you overcome your hindrance of mind. All these are also explained in the September 12th recording. So you don't have to remember. Later on, you just go back and listen to it. It will become clear to you. So initially, what you need to do is you must understand body and mind must be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. You just relax everything, body and mind. Relax means don't hold on to anything. Just letting be. No more issue, no more problem. No more anything that you need to attend to. You're just in a state of relaxed, silent. Then you make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight. Close your eye. Then you silent everything. Then you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead. Feel. Don't think. Feel. If there is any tension, tightness, or stress within, just mentally, silently, relax, relax, and relax every part. Feel the whole forehead soothingly relax. So just feel, relax. Then after that, you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel every strand of your eye muscle, the ciliary muscle. Relax them all. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to feel your facial muscle. Normally, for most people, if you don't have the understanding, if you don't have the joy in life or happiness in life, you are not relaxed. You are very tense. There is a lot of stress within your body and mind. So your facial muscle is normally quite tense. So you just feel and relax every part of it. You try your best. Initially, you think you have a really relaxed. But later on, when I teach you another skillful mean, then you will realize that you are far from the relaxed state. You use the skillful mean of radiating a radiant smile to yourself. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. There is a lot of happiness, there is a lot of joy. You just smile radiantly. When you do that, you are very relaxed, because for you to have joy, there must be peace inside you. There must be what they call joy that lead to the relaxed state. When you are happy, you are very relaxed. And then you realize, naturally, or the facial muscle, because of the radiant smile and joy, it's like on its own, it relaxes itself. So your mental state actually is the one that you have to be aware of. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, you have stress, you have tension, you have tightness within your facial muscle and your various part of your body, especially your heart area. So when you can have joy, love, and happiness, you are in a very relaxed state. Then you realize the facial muscle relax by itself. You don't have to do anything. Then after that, it's very easy for you to radiate love and metta to yourself. Metta is universal love, loving kindness. Your love that has got no opposite means love is just love. There is no more opposite like hatred, envy, jealousy, and unhappiness. So you learn to radiate love and metta to yourself. You can radiate as follows. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart, your entire body and mind, your entire being. You can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart. Then you can continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may this mind, mental state of this mind, be free from all enmity, ill will, fear, worry, anxiety. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within our hearts. This metta will make you very calm and very peaceful, with a lot of inner well-being. Then you continue to radiate the same love or metta to your loved ones. Somebody you care for a lot can be your parents, your spouse, your children, your loved ones, close friends, brothers and sisters, or somebody who has taught you well, who has taken care of you, that you have a lot of respect and gratitude towards. You radiate the same metta. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile. Then from your heart, you radiate this love. You wish them well-being and happiness too. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this love and well-being and happiness to them from your heart. Then after that, you can send metta. May they too be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from harm and danger. May their mind states too be free from all negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they have love, peace and joy deep within their hearts too. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity of where the Suyan and Mifong's house, including all the Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends, fellow meditator, cultivator, and all beings, seen and unseen, known and unknown. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states to be pure, free of all negativity, negative tendency. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they all too be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you continue to radiate this metta or loving kindness to all beings within the whole of Petalingjaya, Subangjaya, Petalingjaya, Selangor state, then whole of Malaysia, then Asia, Southeast Asia, then the whole world, planet Earth, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our entire galaxy, the Milky Way, then to all beings throughout the entire existence in this universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful, more relaxed. Then you come back to your facial muscle. you just relax and feel. By now it should be more relaxed or soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your neck, feel relaxed, shoulder, feel relaxed, hand, back to shoulder, feel and relax. Then you bring your attention to your heart area, your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force, coming force, arise and pass away. So this is a very important location within your body. So you just silence your mind and just feel. If there's any vibration or any tension, or you can feel whatever, what they call stress, you just relax and relax and relax. Yeah. Then after that, when you completely silence your mind, yeah, for those who really know how to meditate, when your awareness is really developed, you just feel, silence your mind, and just feel whatever you can detect, like any vibration or any heartbeat, you just silence your mind and stay there. You will become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still after a while. But for those who are new, who has yet to develop this ability, you don't have to do it. You just relax, feel and relax the heart area. Then you move on. You sweep it down to your stomach. Feel, relax every part. Then you move it down to your abdomen area. Just feel, silence your mind, and relax every part. Then you feel your buttock. You feel your leg. Do the same. Relax and silence your mind. Just feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping process. From the leg, you relax, you feel and relax. Then your buttock, again you feel and you relax stage by stage. Then you come back to your abdomen, feel and relax every part. You move on to your stomach area, feel and relax. Heart area, do the same. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, relax every part. Then you feel your facial muscle, and again, relax every part. Your eye muscle, do the same, feel and relax. Then your forehead, feel and relax. When you are able to do that, your mind that is able to relax the body will make it very calm, very peaceful, and the inner well-being will develop. Then with this state of mind, you are ready to train this mind to be mindful, which is the most important thing that you have to do, because by now you could have developed some form of deconditioning so that your thinking is much less without this mind sweeping method. So with this mind sweeping method, you have two very important advantages. First, you train the mind to feel and relax so that it doesn't think. It will allow you to decondition the heedless thinking. Then the second advantage is you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it is at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will be there. You want it to feel the abdomen, it will be there. Buttock, leg, arm, it will be there. So because you have had this ability, you can now train your mind to develop what they call anapanasati. Anapanasati is a Pali word. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So the word does it. This is a very good meditation object, very neutral, for almost suitable for almost all personality. So you can develop this training of the mind to be mindful, because the breath is always in the moment. So when we are aware of this in and out breath, we will be silent without thought within the moment. And that is what sati is all about. So you silence your mind completely. Then you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, like you feel your forehead. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then you just silently relax and feel the breathing, just like you feel your tightness, tension within your forehead or stress within. Now you feel the breathing. The moment you detect this breathing, you just allow the mind to be with the breath as one without thought. Then just be aware of it. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. It means body and breath move as one without thought. Initially, it's not so easy because you are not trained. So what you need to do is, you have to remember one thing. Every time this mind wanders off, become heedless, and you are not mindful of the breathing, you have to patiently bring it back. Like anything you want to be skillful at, you have to train it. It's just like cycling, learning how to cycle, or learning how to play any games, badminton or what. The constant practice or training will make you skillful. So every time the mind gets distracted, become heedless, you just maintain awareness, bring the awareness, attention back to the breathing. If you do it patient enough, with enough patience, with enough sincerity, if you are determined to train this way, not long, maybe within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, this anapanasati will develop. Your mindfulness will develop. Then your mind suddenly become very peaceful, very quiet. Because the moment it can develop into this sati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, the mind settle down without thought and just aware. When it's able to do that, this mind become peaceful, quiet. Then it can arise a type of joy. They call it piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. The first time you experience it, you will like it. You will like to meditate. Because this is something that most lay people cannot experience. These are meditative calmness, meditative peace that comes through the training of the mind. So when piti arises, continue to relax and allow it to settle down. Then after a while, that breathing will become very, very long breath. Very quiet, very peaceful, very long breathing. Then this anapanasati will develop further. The refinement of piti will reach a stage where it transforms into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. The rest are all explained in the recording. So you just train your mind to do that. Then after the bliss, you continue to relax and silence your mind. It will reach what they call parsati. Parsati is stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. The mind becomes silent, without thought, still. But it's continuously aware of the in and out breath. When this state arises, you will realize your breathing and all your activity of mind within your body and your breathing, they will slow down until like little or no breathing. Then when that happens, just continue to relax and silence everything. Don't try to do anything. Don't even try to do sitting and touching. Just silent. Maintain that silent mind awareness. Then see what happens. This paucity or tranquility or stillness of mind and silent mind, when it settles down, it will develop into what they call the higher mindfulness, the more refined type of mindfulness. Then the mind itself enters sati. The mind itself becomes the silent mind that doesn't need anything. The mind that has no dwelling. It can just stay still, tranquil and quiet without any object of meditation. During that state, the subtle breathing all will come back. You can detect them very, very easily. Without stethoscope, you can hear your heartbeat very clear, very loud. Wherever you locate that mind, the awareness is so clear. Even when you go to the forehead, it's so different now. You can go into the brain within and just develop awareness. Then wherever your body and mind, you want to investigate anything, you direct that mind, you will understand. Then you use it to develop the wisdom needed for you to develop the what they call insight knowledges. Mainly the three characteristics of nature. They call anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. All these are described in the recording. So with that, I will just allow you to meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time, so that we can continue with the second session. Okay, now you can continue with your meditation. Just train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, then stabilize it. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can slowly, silently, and mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is very useful. The mind that is trained will listen to you. Otherwise, it will be heedless. It will do the thing it wants to do. It will ignore what you want to develop. But once you train, this mind becomes different. This mind will listen to you, means you want it to be silent. It will just be silent. You want it to be peaceful and aware. It will just be that. Then you want it to arise, to know something, to understand something, to develop the clarity of awareness, to investigate into anything. It will do just that. So the trained mind is heedful, fully aware, silent within, and peaceful. The untrained mind is full of hindrances, full of negativity, full of evil, full of defilement. The untrained mind is heedless. And actually, for those who have experienced them, you will come to know the untrained mind is the devil's workshop. You know what is a devil, an evil being. And the devil takes charge of your mind because it's not trained. So, like a devil inside there, you know the devil is very evil. That's why it's full of evil. So the evil root is the cause of all evil, root of all evil. So that's how the heedless mind develops all the conditioning of the evil roots to cause you to be evil. That's how you entangle your life. That's how the law of karma take over and condition you into all the misery, the suffering, the various mind states of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All this come about because of the heedlessness of the mind. Because there is this evil root within. There is this hindrance of mind within. So the untrained mind is very, very dangerous. Whereas the trained mind is different. It is peaceful, calm, heedful, aware, silent within. So the key to meditation is to develop this training of mind, to be mindful, so that this mindfulness, which is without thought, can be stabilized. As it stabilizes, your mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more quiet, more and more aware, less and less of this heedless thinking. It can only come about when wisdom has been developed. Without the wisdom, it's a conditioned state of training the mind to be mindful. So the mind that is conditioned into mindfulness, to develop this ability to be mindful on the object of meditation, that type of mindfulness is still not the silent mind that we are looking forward to develop the meditation. That one is still a continuous mindfulness that will make you very peaceful and very calm. Then you can even enter absorption and develop all those concentration or jhanic ability. But when it comes to developing wisdom, the Buddha taught vipassana, which is the four foundation of mindfulness. The emphasis is on awareness, sati, on the four foundation of mindfulness. The first foundation is our physical body, kaya, kaya nupassana. Then from there, after you complete the various category of cultivation of kaya nupassana, which starts with anapanasati, continue into the four posture, then develop the daily mindfulness through sati sampajana, or mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment. Then followed by the four element contemplation of this physical body. That our physical body is made of four elements. The earth element, water element, wind element, and heat element. Then you move on to the 32 parts. Then the 9 stages of cemetery, what they call decomposition. And all this has its purpose, to develop some form of insight that will allow you to move on to the second foundation of mindfulness, so that you can develop the second foundation, Vedana Anupassana. Vedana is feeling, mindfulness on all of your feeling within your sense basis, sense door contact, conditioning feeling. Then how feeling condition craving, how craving condition grasping and all those things. You will start to see them in your meditation when you have sati and mindfulness. Then you move on to develop the various mind state that arise within the feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling. Then you develop the wisdom accordingly. Then after that, you go deeper into the consciousness, not only at feeling level. You go into the content of consciousness. You move on to the third foundation of mindfulness, which is citta nupassana. Citta is mind, content of consciousness of the mind. So when we talk about citta, it is the mind, consciousness with its content, or we call it the thought. So the content of consciousness, which are the aggregates of mind, especially sankhara. So you have to develop mindfulness of this content. You have to go deeper and deeper into the content of consciousness. Then when you start to understand clearly how this content of consciousness condition you into various karmic resultant, whether it's kusala or akusala karma, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, all come from all this, then you will see within the content of consciousness, like the Buddha said, when there is this evil roots of greed, you are aware. When there is this evil root of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, you are aware. Then when there is this evil roots of delusion or ignorance, fear, worry, anxiety, everything, you are aware. So this foundation of mindfulness is more deep. Then when you have clear all this, then you are ready to go into the fourth foundation. Then by now your mindfulness would have stabilized, and you would have the ability to insight into phenomena, insight into the characteristics of nature. Then by then you can develop the Dhammanupassana. You start with the mindfulness of the five hindrances leading to the five aggregate of form and mind, understand it clearly. Then you move on to the next stage, where you understand how you function as a human being, how your senses function. You develop mindfulness of your internal six sense bases and external six sense bases, then the resultant 18 sense bases. So all this, you will come to understand very clearly the dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, which is the little one. Then after this internal six and external six sense bases mindfulness training, you will move on to be mindful of the seven factors of enlightenment that will arise as you cultivate. Then when this happens, you are very, very near to enlightenment, because all the factors of enlightenment are there to actually trigger off the awakening. So that's why when you apply this factor of enlightenment to develop the mindfulness on the Four Noble Truths, you will awaken. Then all of the Noble Truths will become very clear to you. Then you will understand it as they are, as what the Buddha had realized. So that completes the whole understanding of the cultivation. Then when you have developed this four foundations of mindfulness, wisdom, you still need to come out and live life to cultivate the right view, leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the right effort to constantly purify your action, speech, and thought process, even the way you live your life. And then when you are able to fulfill all of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, then only you become a noble one. Noble one or enlightened one. Noble one means the enlightened being that is very noble in every aspect of their life. You are very noble in your understanding of life, in the understanding of the law that governs life and existence. No more doubt. Then you are very noble in the way you carry yourself, the way you arise your thought, the way you act and speak, the way you communicate with people, the way you interact with people, and the way you have relationship with people. All this you will come to understand clearly, and you will know how to live life beautifully. You will just flow and accord. You will not go against anything. You will not cause any more karmic negativity and misery. You have a lot of love, compassion, and wisdom to live life. Yeah. So all these are the characteristics of the enlightened one or the noble ones. That's why they are called noble ones, noble in every aspect of life. Mm. So when you understand all this, then you know how wonderful and how special the Buddha Dharma is, how it can lead to all this great transformation in you. Mm. And when all these things happen or occur, you can see very clearly how this understanding will lead you to complete transformation. Character-wise, personality-wise, you will be a totally different human being than those who can understand you and feel you. They will know you have changed tremendously. Especially your loved ones, people who are close to you, they can see the great change in you. Then you become beautiful. You become a blessing to all. All of society, humanity, and the world. Okay, with that, maybe I will move on to the second session. Second session is reporting. You can report your meditation, your experience. Then you can follow up with the appropriate question regarding meditation and teaching. Whatever aspect of the Buddha Dharma that you don't quite understand, you can also ask. Then the last one, most important, is you can ask me any question that is related to life. How to apply what you have learned here in the Buddha Dharma to allow you to resolve all of your life situation and problem. And all this you can ask. So do make use of this condition and opportunity. So now I will open up to all. Before I go to the question, maybe if any of you wants to report your meditation, that will be very useful. Don't be shy. Just be yourself. Be your natural, true self. Anybody? You want to report your meditation? Oh, never mind. Anybody? Nobody. What about you? You are new. Mimi's friend, is it? Oh, brother, sweet one. You came here before? Oh, first time. How do you feel? Oh, okay, good. You can clean your nose. Don't worry. I think you got a slight flu. It's okay. So it's actually a good sign. Because when you have this type of like sickness and this flu or whatever, then you still able to determine to make it, to develop this meditation. Means you have this resolve in you. Then you learn faster actually. Like the Buddha said, when you go through suffering, that is the best condition to understand his teaching. Because he told the monks, what he teaches is very simple, is only two things. Suffering and the way out of suffering, that's it. So when you don't have suffering, he said, not so easy to understand his teaching. But when suffering arises, he said, under the first turning, the Buddha said, there are these first noble truth reality that can condition you into misery or suffering, he said. So when suffering arises, these eight conditions we have gone through, birth, old age, sickness and death. So yours is sickness or disease. Then separation from loved one, when you are with people whom you don't like and when you cannot get what you want. Then the final summary, of course, is meditative. In short, the Buddha said, when you deludedly grasp and cling to the five aggregate of form and mind, which is what you are, what the human being is all about, then suffering will be the result. Yeah. So this noble truth, he said, he proclaimed under the first turning, you will have to develop the understanding of it through the second turning. So under the second turning, you look at this whiteboard. First turning is Suttamaya Panya. Panya is wisdom. After hearing the proclamation of truth by the Buddha, under the first turning, the Buddha said, there is a type of understanding or wisdom that will arise. So he said, Sutta are the discourse of the Buddha. Okay. Never mind. Okay. Can see. He said, Sutta are the discourse of the Buddha. So Suttamaya Panya is wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, or hearing the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. So when you have this ability to understand what he say, then you have high wisdom. That first turning can make you awaken to or enlightened. But if you find it not so easy, then you need to go for the second turning, the Buddha said. Second turning is Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the truth that he has actually proclaim. So when it comes to suffering, the Buddha said, under the second turning of the first noble truth, this suffering is to be understood. So when he said this suffering is to be understood, how can you develop wisdom out of it? This type of second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. I re-explained that this wisdom come about through reflection, contemplation and inquiry into what he said. So what he said is, this noble truth of dukkha or suffering is to be understood. So how do you inquire? How do you reflect? How do you contemplate? You ask the question. What question do you ask? When the Buddha mentioned under the second turning, he said, this noble truth, which is the first noble truth of suffering, dukkha, is to be understood. How do you start the contemplative training to develop the wisdom? Anybody? Very good. Why did the Buddha say that? Correct or not? So you inquire. Why? Why must I understand what suffering is? Why? You ask yourself, if you don't know what is suffering, what is going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you? You suffer without knowing what it is. Understand? So how can you meditate and understand his teaching when you don't even know what suffering is? Understand? So you have to reflect and contemplate. Understand? Why did the Buddha say that? Oh, then you realize, if I don't reflect, contemplate and understand what suffering is, I can never develop the ability to be free from suffering. But if I want to be free from something, I must know what that thing is. Correct? Yeah. So that's why the noble truth is very important. So what do? After you inquire why, you know why already. So now you must go into the detail of it. What is suffering? Because this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. So if I don't know what is suffering, I cannot go into it, is it? How can I understand it? I have to develop the inquiry. So I will have to go back to the first turning proclamation. Then I ask, why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering? Is there really any suffering when I experience all this or I witness all this? And then you go in. Then you understand the noble truth. Then you understand it through your direct reflection, contemplation, inquiry into it through life experience. So the mother will know why birth is suffering. Maybe the man may not know so much because you don't carry the baby for 10 months or 9 months or even sometimes premature 7 months. So the birth process comes with a lot of suffering when you understand. When things don't go your way, when the baby is not what you expect, when certain complications happen during birth, it can be very traumatic. So that is very real. Then when the mother goes through the what they call conceiving stage, then going through the pregnancy stage, the morning sickness and all those things, then how they sacrifice, how their movement are restricted, how they endure. A lot of things that they want to eat, they cannot eat anymore. Then how they have this, what they call morning sickness and all those things. Then how, as they go through that pregnancy process, they need to actually do the housework too, or go to work. And at the same time, with the baby in their womb. So all this, you need to go through or inquire to understand. So the gynecologist, they will understand because they study that field. Then you have what they call old age, sickness and death. Maybe when you are young, you cannot experience what old age is, but you can see your parents, your grandparents getting old. Then your great-grandparents or your neighbors and all those old people. Or you heard of all their problem. As you grow old, you start to develop a lot of sickness, a lot of disease. Then your senses start to fail you. Then your thoughts start to haunt you. You start to develop this unhappiness in you. Now I'm so old, so useless. People look down upon me. My children also look down upon me because you are no longer like before. So the thing that comes with old age can be very, very miserable too. Especially you are financially dependent on people for your daily sustenance, your 3 meals, your food and your shelter. And when you grow old, you tend to have a lot of sickness and disease too. So your medical bill and all those things. Then you some more scared of those traumatic disease or illness than like dementia, those things. This can be very, very, what they call real and very traumatic. Then, of course, death, everybody know, is very tragic. If you don't have wisdom, most of them suffer. You cannot accept the reality, especially death of a loved ones, death of somebody very important to you. And death can happen in many ways. Separation through accident. They call what they call nature's disaster, like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse. Then sometimes nowadays, car accident, train accident, plane accident. Then even snatch thief can be a big issue, creating a lot of misery too. You have witnessed a lot in the newspaper report. Then as you go through, you start to understand when there is separation from the things you own or hold on to dearly, like your business, your wealth, your property, your money, your possession. Then later on, you encounter relationship problem, which can also lead to separation, divorce, relationship failure, even not married, you are not exempted. You get jilted. Nobody divorced you, but you get jilted. Then the very common word is, you are dumb, like a coconut pop, just dumb you. So many of this relationship failure can lead to very, very traumatic type of experiences. Then they cry. There is a lot of sorrow, lamentation, leading to all the hatred, the anger, the jealousy and all those things. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, also a lot of suffering. So as you go through the reflection and contemplation, you start to understand this noble truth. And these are very real. And this is what the Buddha said. Without wisdom, when you confront them, you will suffer. And these are reality that you cannot avoid, you know, the Buddha said. As long as you live long enough, you have to confront them sooner or later. Yeah. So when you are with people whom you don't like, you experience a lot of this traumatic suffering. Especially when you are still working, career problem, when your bosses are not that friendly. So you are under tremendous pressure to deliver, understand not? And certain people, they got very funny way of managing their staff. They go by this practice, management by harassment and fear. They harass you to deliver and they put fear into you because you need the job, the salary and all those things. Then a lot of people are forced to commit suicide because of financial problem, which is very common. So when your business cash flow is stuck, and you cannot find the cash flow for your business to go through, you can be under tremendous suffering and stress. Then when the banker all start to turn away from you, when your creditor starts to come after you. So these are very, very real and very traumatic real life situation that can lead to a lot of suffering, a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then coupled with stress, develop health problem, health issue worse. Then when you are in this state, you become very moody. You come back, your relationship with all your loved ones also suffer, because when you suffer, they also suffer. They also worry for you. Yeah. So all this is a chain reaction, asana. And the noble truth is so real. So the Buddha said, if you understand this noble truth, what must you do? You don't wait until it's too late, asana. So you better make haste to cultivate and develop this type of understanding born of his teaching that can allow you to understand what is going on. Then when noble truth, the first noble truth of suffering, has already been understood, you don't have to suffer anymore, the Buddha said. That's why the third turning is the enlightenment part, with wisdom. Bhavana maya panya. Panya is wisdom. Bhavana is meditative training. So wisdom born of meditation or meditative training is the third turning, wisdom. And once you have that, your mind liberated, free. Then when you contemplate and reflect into the second noble truth, the second noble truth explains to you very clearly why suffering arises. The Buddha said there is a cause behind all suffering under the second noble truth. This is a noble truth, is it? Because noble truths are very strange and very unique truth. These are truths that can make you a noble one. That's why it's called noble truth. So when you understand this truth, you become enlightened one, noble ones. That's why it's very unique. And his teaching is very powerful. So under the second noble truth, he just tells you all of the first noble truth reality. When you are entangled and hit, there is a cause behind. And what is this cause? The Buddha explained it. He said, it is your craving, born of delusion, self-delusion, sakayadidhi. You don't understand who you are, what you are. You don't know what this human being is all about. You don't know what this form and mind is all about. You deludedly grasp and cling onto it, thinking that it's real, it's you. That's why that delusion, that Sakaya Ditti self-delusion, is very powerful, is it? So the final summary is that when you deludedly grasp and cling to the five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha said, suffering will be the result. You don't have to believe him. You can put to test, you can investigate. And when you reflect and contemplate, you realize, yes, everything he says is true. Let's take, for example, the first four, birth, old age, sickness, and death. How does suffering come to be? When we attach, you know, when we cling, you know, when we have craving, you know, when we think this body is us. So what happens? When you think this is what you are, you worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and die. That's why you suffer. Then the baby, you have attachment. You think you are the biological father and mother, you give birth, your child. You have attachment to that child. Anything happen to that child, for good or for bad, it can affect your mental state. Understand? When things go your way, you see them so cheerful, so beautiful as they grow up without problem. You have so much joy and you love them more. And that will cause you to attach more and more. Then suddenly something happens. Things that is very, very, what they call, unfortunate. Nowadays a lot, baby get adopted. They just come and take your baby away. Sometimes in the car you forgot, split second, people just take the whole thing. Then nowadays, even in school, they are not safe. Then when the kid go to school, they develop their own problems. Then when you leave it to the, what they call nanny or those that help you to look after your baby. Because most of our modern day family, both the husband and wife are working. If you don't have a good mother-in-law or parents who can help you look after the children or your grandparents, that's why you are very blessed you have these people to look after for you, so that you have peace of mind when you go to work. Otherwise, you worry like anything. Even you hire a maid. You have seen so many of these stories. Put all the video at home, also no use. Suddenly you're on your computer, you saw how the maid abused your child, how you totally no more mood to work. Straight away you call your husband. Then you straight away rush home. And of course, whatever you do is too late. Because you don't have the time and you don't understand how to look after the child. You have to entrust it to something. But you have a duty to find out, to monitor and make sure that this thing won't happen. But there are many things that you cannot avoid, because karma is something you cannot really understand unless you have the wisdom. What you did to people in the past, karma come back to you. If you have been a maid that do all this to people's child, then when the time comes, you become the victim, you become the parent, your kid is abused by other maid with the same condition that you have treated them. So all this you cannot blame people for what happened. The Buddha said, the law of karma is very powerful. You must have that right view. So all this is leading to understanding. When you know the cause behind your suffering, when you know what suffering is, you will know how to manage your life better. So that you need not be so gullible anymore, so that you did not have to go through all this stupidity anymore, so that at least to a certain extent you can manage it. But if you want to be totally free from it and go beyond, you must develop wisdom. That's why this type of meditation is very useful. And this type of meditation, you have to go much deeper than what knowledge can give you. What I explain to you is just knowledge. But if you put it to cultivation, if you develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness, and to reflect, contemplate, and go into the first turning, second turning, and third turning, and diligently cultivate, leading to the heedfulness, the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, the full range of meditation, and then you can develop that type of wisdom to be free from all the First Noble Truth reality. Then that time, no matter what happened, no more problem for you. You are always peaceful, anywhere, anytime, any place, still full of happiness and joy. The reality is still the reality. You will know very clearly, despite what happened, no more suffering. And it can be done. It's not just a myth or something that is like theory. That's why the Buddha, after he realized that he was full of joy, and he wanted to share this understanding with the world. That's why he cultivated for 3 3/4 Sankhaya Kappas, or world cycle, to perfect himself, so that he becomes so wise. So that he can summarize all of his understanding of life into just 4 Noble Truths. And what we are cultivating and developing here is to develop the training of the mind to be heedful, to cultivate this 4 Noble Truths understanding, that's all. And when you understand the Noble Truth, you become noble ones, and you are completely free from suffering. And this is something possible, even this life. This life, actually, the present civilization and consciousness, you are very blessed. Because we have evolved to the stage where it has developed all this, what they call advancement in technology and all those things to help you. But all this work like a double-edged weapon. If you use it wrongly, then the human consciousness will decay, will go down. Human civilization will fall. But you use it wisely to enhance the spiritual understanding and to transform the consciousness of this planet, then we will evolve to become beautiful beings. So all this can be understood. So like the internet, now you got CD, that's why the recording, you got pen drive, it's so convenient. 2600 years ago, you may think that the monks, they are all very fortunate, the lay people who met the Buddha. But do you know, during that time, only the people there, that region, no aeroplane to fly there. Ship also, nobody know how to steer. Columbus hasn't really realized the earth is round. So all those things were not available. And you don't meet the Buddha, no recording, no book, no CD, nothing. You have to find your way to see him. And it's not easy during that time. You don't even know where he is. No newspaper to read, no internet to check, no GPS to trace him. So all these are not there. That's why I say, you don't go and complain. A lot of you are telling me, oh, last time, brother, the Buddha's life so easy, you know, he around. Anything to know, ask him. And he can explain to us. But they never look at all those things that they don't have. So what you have now, actually, you are very much more fortunate. But you must know how to screen and sieve the right thing, because all sorts of things are inside the internet. So if you get the wrong one, you also follow the blind. The blind leading the blind, you end up somewhere else. But if you are quite intelligent and wise, and you will know how to actually screen and sieve it out, then when you understand, you will determine to train yourself. So the 3 turnings are very important, leading to the meditation, the 4 foundations of mindfulness, the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, then the realization of the 4 Noble Truths. All this will happen. So coming back to what we want to discuss. I have to finish this question. I haven't start. I think I have to stop for the time being, the reporting. I go to the question now. Okay, this is a very interesting question. This Kayanamita wrote to Brother Suyan. Suyan forwarded to me and he has so kindly printed it out. He said, "Hey, Brother Suyan, this is quite personal." That's why Suyan very, very, what they call, tactful. He deleted the email and the name. So we don't know who. But I was told he or she is here. I think it's a she. Never mind. My question is, what is the meaning of responsibility? Because to her, she believed this is responsibility. So then the question is, I feel that I work so hard to contribute to the family. He used the word in bracket, no? Practically in every sense. Means she is the only one more or less working, doing all those skills and cleaning up the house and all those things, and seeing to all the needs of the family, which is a very great responsibility. And that's why she called it responsibility. Then you know what she said? Telling my children, oh sorry, then she elaborated, and then everyone should be putting in their contribution as well. Example, helping to do housework such as cleaning, keeping the place tidy, safety, etc. But I find that everything is all up to me. Though from young, I have been telling my children that they should do their share or part. Of course, not expecting to do all, but at least contribute. So that everyone is contributing in their own way. I think that is fair to expect. But she is not getting that. Their common excuse is that, "Mom, I'm busy." Or not interested in housework. So that is the problem. "I'm actually the busiest person," she said. "And I'm interested in feeding lazy people." He used the word inverted comma. Then she said, the word becomes stronger. "I hate to pose this question, as I felt that the feedback is as though I'm very calculative and, sorry, or uncaring." No, you are not. People who don't understand, maybe they will think that way. But for people who understand, you have sacrificed a lot. And there is the reason why you are like that, because you cannot understand, like you say. So you put here, "I compromise all the way till I cannot give myself a good answer why I push myself so hard, means sacrifice, to keep the house and the home in order." So she also like wants to explain to you, is it? Anyway, this is just airing my view. So he said, don't worry about her. A lot of people is like that, complain, but won't be serious one. You know, in Hokkien they call what or not? Sorry, I don't refer to this lady. My classmate always tell me, "Ayo, that guy, it can be seen." complain, but nothing will happen. Because he wants to just vent it out, understand? So he said, "Thanks for listening. Best regard." So now we come to answer this very beautiful question, very good question. So to me, like at the Brother Suyan, the more appropriate words to use should be duty instead of responsibility. Understand? When you say responsibility, means what? People make you responsible, understand? You are responsible for all this. But when it's my duty, means what? It's the duty that I will do with understanding, understand? But it's my duty, understand? I do because I got a duty as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter-in-law. It's just like the siloka, what the Buddha mentioned this sutta. I forgot the name, start with S-I or Silogavada. Sigalovada. I don't know how to pronounce. Sorry about that. the Buddha explained very clearly your role, understand, your duty towards each and every one that you have relationship with, even between employer and employee, understand? And you know all this duty that he talked about, comes from his understanding, his great wisdom. Without that great wisdom, he cannot tell you. So your duty is in accordance with what? You act because of what? You have a duty, to do something, as a mother, why do you hold on to that duty? Because the Buddha, through his great wisdom, he understands the laws that governs life and existence. He understands this great law, nature's law, especially the law of karma. He said, if you perform your duty in accordance with this law, then you will reap the result or the fruition. That's why I put there, right duty is right Dhamma. Can you follow that? When you do your duty correctly, in accordance with the law of karma, the law that governs life and existence, then that is right Dhamma. Understand? Means you don't do out of heedlessness, foolishness, or delusion. So a lot of people do things. They say, I already did so much good, understand? But they never question that good. Good according to who? It's always good according to them, understand? So when good according to you may not be the nature's law type of good, understand? Because your definition of good and bad is based on your view and your opinion. And before you are enlightened, your views and opinion are always wrong view. So how can it be right? It must be right according to this nature's law. So the Buddha knew the law of karma means what? So now coming back to this lady as a mother. If you do your duty as a mother, or as a wife, or as a sister-in-law, or daughter-in-law, you know what will happen or not? If you do that duty well, means you love your children, your family, then you sacrifice for them because they are your loved ones, understand? Then there is a lot of joy, understand? You can do that because you believe they are your loved ones, and you really care for them, and you have love. When you have true love, there is no anger, no jealousy, and no all this calculating thing, understand? Like you love your child, you can go all out and sacrifice for your child, understand? That's why Chinese have a culture. You work so hard. All of your life savings sometimes, they just spend it on their son's education or children's education, understand? And to them, this is something they would do, understand? Because of what? Out of love. But the other way around is very difficult. You expect the child or the son, when he grew up, to have that gratitude, that what they call that understanding, to really, really go back and thank their parent for all the great sacrifice and love that they have given them, and to look after them and all those things. Unless that child has Dhamma, understand? Otherwise, most of them are selfish. They will tell you, can call the other brother lah, or can call the other sister lah. They are nearer. They stay with you. Last time you actually pamper them more. All sorts of reasons. Then when you go to that one, they say, no lah, last time the other brother used more of your money. Then I really very busy. I don't have time. So they always say, one parent can raise 10 kids. 10 children cannot even look after one parent. Which is quite true at times. So don't end up like that because you think this is advantage because you don't understand the Dhamma. This is actually selfishness. But when you have the wisdom, when you have the Dhamma, you will not do that. Because you know every action you do, there is a cause and effect. Opposite reaction. So the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, here to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if you don't take care of karma, if you do things that harm people and cause suffering to people, all this will come back to you, to haunt you. So what happens is, if you do your duty as a mother, care for your children, care for your loved ones, sacrifice, and of course, do to the ability you can do, understand? Or don't do until at the expense of your health, understand? You cannot, just tell them you cannot. Like last time, our generation is the best. Now you're 10 kids. The mother, where got time for you, understand? My mother used to tell me, nature will take care. he said, wanna, you give birth, but nature will take care. You don't have to worry, he said. They will grow up. So what happened is, one by one, my mother always say, he got no time to look after the kid one. He just say, as long as you feed them, don't worry, let them cry. Let them do what they want. Because she really don't have time, 9 or 10 of us. He may got time to everyone like now. Wow, a lot of pampering, a lot of love, in the name of love. Wow, you care, you worry so much. And one kid, two kids also so difficult to look after. No? So last time my mother, wow, you look back. How she take care of 9 to 10? No? Fantastic. And deliver almost every year. No? Non-stop. Sometimes alternate year. No? The new mother, you listen to all this, you dare not get married. Because 1 or 2 is already a great sacrifice or burden. So all this, when it comes, what happened? But you must know, law of karma is like that. When you take care of them, when you love and do your duty and sacrifice, in future when you come, you will have mother that take care of you, understand? And you will be very blessed. So if you know this is karma, you will never be deluded until you neglect them. You neglect them, in future when you come, you will be neglected. And you have a lot of suffering. You become like orphanage. They dump you. And they don't care for you. Then if you are like the parent that neglect your duty, like especially the man's side, if you gamble, you drink, you cause so much suffering, and you neglect your duty, in future when you come again, you will have a father that do that to you, understand? Because you did that to your kid, understand? So the mother that do all those things, want the easy way out, also will suffer. Most of them, because they couldn't take it, they just say, that's it. Enough is enough. They just walk out of the family, understand? Then they just don't want to know. Go. So what happened is, in future, when there is condition, you will have parents, similar situation, walk out of you. How you feel? Life is like that. So you take care of karma. Every life you come, you do your duty well. That every life in future, when you come, you will have parents and loved ones who will do their duty well towards you too. Understand? That's why you take care of your children's education, look after their well-being. Don't pamper them. Understand? Your duty is what, as parent, you guide them, you actually nurture them when they are young, and then protect them, care for them, provide them with all the basic essential, the food, shelter, the education, and whatever. Then after that, advise them, give them proper advice, so that they can grow up and become proper living beings. With the right understanding, so that they will know what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, so that they will be a blessing to all, so that they have respect and gratitude for elders, for people who really love and care for them, and they have this charitable heart, generosity to help relieve suffering. And if you can train them in that aspect, then this is what you will receive as fruition. The duty that you do will become the fruition of karma. In future, you have parents that will guide you, train you, and bring that understanding to you. Understand? The more you give, the more you receive. That's why Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, they are always so wealthy. Where this life, they're so wealthy, yet they donate so much. That's why in future they come, they will be very wealthy again. Because the law of karma is like that. The more you give, the more you receive. Yeah, you give means you give to your own nature, your karmic nature, that's all. When you cause suffering to your own karmic nature. In future, you reap the result. That's why do not harm people. That's why the Buddha's advice is very, very precise and powerful. Under the famous Dhammapada verse 183, what did he say? Advice to all living beings. All Buddha give the same advice. He says, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanam itang buddhana sasana. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. Akaranam. He said, all evil you must avoid. That's why don't cause suffering. Don't have negativity. Otherwise you suffer. Then whatever wholesomeness and goodness, kusalesa upasampadan, you must do. Then finally, he said, you still got to train your mind. Sacitta pariyotapanam. Citta is mind. Purify your mind so that you have the wisdom to confront life so that you need not suffer. Otherwise, miserable. And this is the advice of all Buddha. Etang buddhana sasana. So when you understand why the Buddha say this, because it comes from this right view with regards to law of karma, then you know why you must have this right understanding, right view, to do your duty in accordance with this nature's law. Then you will reap the result and the reward in future. Then your life will be taken care of. So do not be heedless. Do not be deluded. Do not go and think that all this is like you are sacrificing. You are doing all this for what? For these people who are so lazy. And you know why all this come about? Because she got very angry. The thought keep on telling her. They never respect you. They didn't even say a word of thanks to you. They didn't even appreciate what you have done. Because for this mother, it's very simple. Once you have this gratitude towards them, once you can feel them, and appreciate what they have done for you, and say some nice, sincere word. Thank you so much. You have sacrificed so much. We really, really thank you. You are our greatest mom. On Mother's Day, express that. I tell you, she will be very happy to work for you. Without rest, also she will do for you. Because you appreciate what she do. But if you don't do that, their thought will become negative. And this negative thought come about is because of karma. We are in the past. As a kid, you never have this gratitude towards your parents. So this life you come, you become parent, your kid also got the same condition, no gratitude towards you. This is what happened in the past. So karma is like that. So you want to have good life, you want children, loved one to be very beautiful and very nice to you, you must take care of karma. That's it. So the last point before I stop, I always say this to the mother. Listen, if it's your duty or responsibility, whatever word you use, as long as you are the mother, there are certain things you need to do. Whether you like to do or you don't like to do, you still need to do. If you do with understanding, joy and happiness, what you do will become beautiful, karmically come back to you. And when you cook with joy, happiness, and understanding, a lot of sacrifice, your cooking also become better. Otherwise, with a lot of anger, hatred, and this unhappiness, you think you can cook well or not? Come back, your kid, your husband, eat also complain, what the hell happened today? Why so salty also, you don't know? Then out of that anger, already very deep inside, boiling already, you some more comment like that. No word of appreciation, you know what I say? The hell with you, cook yourself. You just pack up and walk out. Go back to the mother-in-law or the parent there. Then you look, wow, boycott. Oh, they come, pa, cook. So what happened? When they go on strike, you have big problem. I have seen certain husband. The wife 3 days not at home only, clung about the house. Last time I got one colleague, he said, Malay, Muslim, I remember, engineer Rosdin Hassan. He said, "Dude, don't play a fool with the wife." 3 days, oh, you balik kampung, oh, aku mati. He got 3 children, oh. He said, then only he realized, not easy to be a housewife. You know, that's what I take for granted. He said, every month I gave her money, take care of 3 children, and the household also complain like anything. So one day the wife just packed up and left. That is how, through Dhamma, you can be sensitive and you feel for them and you understand. That's why you can sacrifice. You can do all those proper things, the right duty, understand? No? Then your life become in order. Then in future when you come, no more problem. No more of all this. No more suffering. So when you understand the laws that governs life existence and you know how to live in accordance with it, means you have wisdom. Means you know how to live. Then you don't worry about life. You just live. Then life become meaningful, beautiful. Understand? No? Then you no longer like normal people. Complain, worry. Every day, now and then, entangle, get angry. Is that life? Is that what you want? You ask yourself, I don't know. For me, that is really, really, to use a harsh word, very stupid. Stupidity. Your own life, you cannot choose to be happy. You choose to be so negative, so miserable. Because of what? You don't understand this teaching. You don't know there is a way to develop that understanding and free your mind. Okay? So with that we end. Sorry, I take extra 5 minutes of your time. Okay. You got any question next time, you better write down so that I will spend more time on the question. So I hope I have answered the sister's question. So have understanding and develop the joy of doing your duty in accordance with nature's law. Understand? You are not being subject to do all this because you are the mother or the wife. They put you responsible for all this. No. There is a nature's law that governs all of our action and speech and thought process. If we have noble eightfold path, right view, right understanding, no problem. Understand? That's why you can overcome all of this. Don't try to save on his money. Hire a mate. Forget about him. Whatever he say, I want a mate. Otherwise, I go back. But don't be too demanding. Sometimes financially, if the person is not capable. But nowadays, wife are financially very much stronger and better than husband. Oh, you ask Joy, that great experience. Oh, see? And despite a very experienced mother, you know. Oh. Yes. Then when he saw the maid, there was so much joy. It's like the husband saw the wife come back. Actually, it's a big difference. Even my wife also the same. That time when our maid left, I just tell her we go and hire. Filipino also, never mind. Pay a bit more, never mind. Then immediately after the maid come, you see her so different. So now she can go do facial makeup. They have more time to herself. That is what life is all about, understand? Resolve your problem, understand? Don't go and complain and become miserable over so-called problem in inverted comma. Learn to live life, not to complain and become miserable over life, understand? Most people worry about life, complain about life, and become miserable over life. They never live. Understand? To live is very simple. Isn't it? Now, Silun's wife looking at me. Silun, the heat is there. Don't worry, Silun is a very good husband. My classmate, MU. We know each other very long. Last time, Mahjong Kaki also. He played badminton with me also. Then he is also Suyan and Mi Fong's classmate. So actually, we are very close. So okay, don't want to take up too much of your time. Next time, write down your question or email or WhatsApp Sui An. Then he can pass the question over. So what I normally do is, If the question is not that long one, you don't have to let me know. That day itself I read. And then the way I answer is very different. Well, then the condition will arise. But this one is good because this one is a very long one, the complaint. So if you don't send it to me, because it's not the real Dhamma, that's all. This is like the other type of Dhamma, the Silogawa, the Nawat Sutta. Sorry. Because I don't really teach that Sutta one. But I know about that Sutta. Because for me, these are mundane. Very mundane, not the Dhamma. So my emphasis is not so much on that in this life. My emphasis is on wisdom, understanding. So if your Dhamma question, no need to let me know. Then I take it out. The way I answer will be very beautiful. But if it's mundane one, please forward to me. So at least I can look up a little bit. Otherwise, even I look up, I forgot how to pronounce. I every time forgot that word. It was too long. I know it's S-I something. Sila something. Oh, Sigalo, not Silago. Sigalo Wada. Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyway, that's what the sutta is all about. If you want to know more, you go and read that one. Then you will know how to do your duty. The Buddha laid out very clearly. But he didn't explain to you about karma thing. He just tell you what your duty is, what you must do. Then your life will be good. The Buddha just tell you like that. You cannot mistreat your employee or so, is it? And you cannot mistreat your spouse, your children. That children got a duty towards parents. And you know, according to the Buddha, you are responsible for your child's marriage, you know. Right? Yeah, it's written inside there. You go and read. I remember one of the duty of parents. So that they are properly married. But you don't worry. Don't go and panic yourself. Some children don't want to get married on. So don't go and say, "Hey, Buddha say I must have a duty to do that for you." Then you conflict. You don't understand the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha also respect the individual. Your life you decide. He never force you to do things that you don't like to do. Because it's your life. You are what you are because of your karma. And no reality. He know you, he know me. He will never interfere. But he can give you advice as to what you have to do, your duty. And that is taught in the sutta. Okay? So now we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akka satta cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anemoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasa. Excuse me. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sitiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed ones and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasata kalena sasa sampatihi tocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yava Nivana Patya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Oh, sorry, I forgot. There is a sister, the mother passed away. I think she's 70 plus, 75. Her name is Madam Tan Le Ho, N.G. Chia's mother. She passed away recently on Sunday, September 22nd. So she requested that we help do some transfer of merits to her mother. So we will do it now, since we already rejoice with all the wholesomeness that we have all done over our last 2 hours of activity. All of the meritorious action, like hearing the Dhamma, straightening our view, rejoicing, then transform merit, sharing of merits, then we pay respect, our reverential salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then all of the wholesomeness, like radiating of loving kindness, metta, and all the meditation that you have done. So all these are very wholesome and very meritorious, and we have together rejoice with all those wholesomeness. So we will invoke the power of these merits, blessings, and wholesomeness to help our sister's mother. So by the power of this wholesomeness that we have cultivated, may it arise the causes and condition for our NG Chia's mother, Madam Tan Le Ho, to have a better rebirth in whatever rhyme or whatever existence that she may take in this rebirth. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with her, and may the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha always bless her, and may she have good life, happy life. And may she have the causes and condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dharma too, so that she can have the ability to train her mind to develop this understanding, so that she too can realize the beautiful Dhamma that can help her in her future life. So with this, we will just rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can pay your respect to Lord Buddha.